Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. As a kid, the want and need for a pet can take over every fiber of their being as they beg and plead for that puppy or bunny or kitten. But in Jenny Offhill's book, Sparky, our little girl gets a sloth. That's right, a three-toed, slow-moving sloth. The book and story are magically brought to life by Chris Abelhan's illustrations. Neither are strangers to bringing stories to life for kids. Offhill is best known for her award-winning books, 11 Experiments That Failed, and 17 Things I'm Not Allowed to Do Anymore. And Abelhan's was an illustrator and production designer for the screen adaptation of Neil Gaiman's Coraline, as well as an environment designer for Fantastic Mr. Fox. I spoke with Offhill and Abelhan's about Sparky and their collaboration to bring the sloth to the limelight.
I've always liked sloths, and I can remember when I first saw one in an encyclopedia and just being kind of fascinated that there was a creature that seemed just that it was really quite big to be that slow. And I remember reading that part of the way that they camouflaged themselves on trees was that they had green algae that grew over them to make them look greener in the trees. And I just think those facts kind of stuck with me and came back up later when I was thinking of writing a book.
Our little girl in the story really wants to have a pet, and her mother says, well, it doesn't have to be bathed, if you don't really have to feed it, and you don't have to take it for walks, all right.
Well, I think most parents are probably familiar with the part where the kid follows the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law. So the mother's obviously trying to get out of having any pet at all, and she does a little run around her and gets this sloth.
Right, because she promised.
She promised, yes. And the librarian at her school helps her figure out what might be the right animal to get.
Which is a very nice way to go about having her help her choose what kind of animal she wants.
Well, I think the librarians are the great unsung heroes, and it's always great to figure out a way to work them into a book.
Now, as the story's progressing, and this is where I think, Chris, you also come in, you've worked on different projects where basically most people already have a picture in their head about what characters may look like from having read the book before. But here, this is your first children's book. So for you, was it almost, I know you do your own prints as well, but to have somebody else's words that you get to put those pictures to those words?
Yeah, I think it's one of the fascinating things about doing a picture book collaboration. It's kind of like interpreting music or something, you know. I'm sure that Jenny had a particular vision for every moment of this story in her head, and she puts that down in words. And then I look at those words, and that conjures some vision in my head, which then I start drawing and painting. And it's probably not exactly what Jenny imagined, but hopefully, anyways, it captures the same spirit. And I think there's something cool about bringing those two brains together, you know, and they're sort of speaking a common language, but they're using different tools. So it's a really fun and interesting way to approach collaborating.
It was really fun, and I must say it was much better than anything I'd imagined. I don't really have a very visual imagination, but I was already a fan of Chris's work, and I mostly had a vision of kind of the just the feel that it would have. Like I felt like you were going to get the kind of emotional tone I wanted, which was kind of about longing and a little more, a little twinge of melancholy, which we don't always see in kids' books, but which I think kids respond to and are interested in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have a twin sister, and I feel like I was definitely not a sloth-like kid. I was probably super annoying as a brother. But I think it was always funny to me because I felt like when I read this story, I imagined my sister experiencing her childhood with me as her brother and probably kind of wishing sometimes that maybe she had got a slightly different pet, a slightly different brother. But still putting up with me and accepting me for the strange person that I was. So it's a lovely quality to the story. I think that quality of acceptance and of, you know, I think when you're a kid, your brain pretty much revolves around getting what you want. And there are these moments where maybe you don't get exactly what you want or what you thought you wanted. And how you deal with that, I think, is kind of a lesson for the whole rest of your life as a grown-up. So
that's very true. I just also, I have a memory, I think, of being a kid and I'm an only child, like the girl in the story, but I remember when I would get together with cousins or friends and we would try to make some big show. Maybe we'd try to learn magic tricks or we'd do whatever. It often would just go terribly awry and not mystify or amaze anyone. And I just remember that feeling as a kid, the anticipation of the show and then the show kind of not quite living up to that. And so that was part of the inspiration of the trained sloth extravaganza that she plans.
It's absolutely wonderful. I mean, as adults, we know that sloths generally, I mean, they do not move all that much. And there's just this beautiful two-page panel, and you have one sentence. It was 2 days before I saw him awake. And Chris, you've created four panels, and just with the eyes and the line of the mouth on the sloth and each four of these pictures on these pages is absolutely priceless. And the same with the little girl's face, because she's looking and hoping, is this sloth going to wake up? When is he going to wake up kind of thing?
That's one of my favorite parts of the book. I love that four panels. I think it says so much. It's a real example of where the collaboration makes such a difference, because just the words conveyed a tiny part of that, and it was really in the way that he conjured up the scene that I think added so much humor and a little pathos too.
I think it's one of the cool things about, and maybe one of the tricky things. I'm pretty new to this, but you know, I think the best children's books, the words sort of get you rolling, and the pictures give you all kinds of information that the words don't. And you sort of do the math. You kind of figure out the meaning in between those two pieces. And I think a lot of times, you know, the words are just repeating what the pictures are showing you. And so your brain sort of turns off a little bit. But I thought with Jenny's story that there were all these breathing spaces where you had something to offer in the pictures that it could get some quality across. And it is, it's such a weird and tricky, you know, if you move that little line of the smile, if you nudge it a few millimeters in one direction or make it a slightly different shape, our brains turn that into a whole different feeling, a whole different little girl. So it can be pretty frustrating sometimes when you're on your 10th version of a smile and it still doesn't feel right. But I guess that's what you sign up for.
But you did things in this book that I hadn't even thought of, but were so perfect. Like the first time that the mean girl is shown, you made her face kind of like a scribble. It's not as defined as the other faces. And I loved that so much. That when I saw that, I was so amazed. But it was like you read my mind and captured what I was going for.
Yeah, cool.
When we're looking at that particular picture, we have Jenny's words, and then we create a picture before we look at yours, and then you captured it with all of her accomplishments on the wall and her just there. It's as if, oh my gosh, you totally look like you're the bossy do-gooder of them all.
Yeah, we all knew that kid.
Yeah, she's the one who says you can't just invent a new animal, a new pet. I think that's a sort of an interesting quality that some kids have. They're sort of little policers. And if anyone gets out of line in some way and is less than conventional, those are the kids that will say, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. And so those are often the foils to my characters, put it that way.
One of the things I did notice also with that panel is that it's brighter and more in your face than the rest of the colors. I mean, we have these beautiful kind of watercolors and the blues and the browns, and then all of a sudden we get like these bright pink and yellow in our face with her.
I really love the way that kids draw. I think it's pretty amazing. And when you spend a lot of time teaching yourself how to make things look realistic and render them and look cool and fancy, when you see the way a kid draws, and it's so directly related to their emotions. They don't care if it looks right. They don't even know what it's supposed to look like. They're just channeling like this feeling they have. And that's, the longer you do art, I think the more you're trying to get back to that and kind of get rid of all the technique and all of the fancy stuff and let it be this sort of pretty pure sort of, you know, telephone line between your brain and your hands. And so it was really fun to try and do that. I didn't do it particularly well. I think probably find a 7-year-old kid who could draw that character would be way funnier than mine, but it's definitely a fun thing to try and capture that feeling of how she might perceive her foil.
Absolutely. And Jenny, I mean, there's that final moment in the book and you just say, I looked at him and he looked at me. And I mean, that's why every kid wants to feel that connection, especially when people say, oh, your pet isn't as cool as it is. It's almost like having a pet rock. This isn't a real pet kind of thing. But it's that one moment and we just see her reaching up to touch his little three-toed paw. And it's just those lines just really encapsulate really what childhood is.
Thank you. Well, I'm thrilled with the way the book turned out, and it's one of these things. Sometimes people ask me, do you give the illustrator ideas? And I think it's fair to say I'm very hands off. I don't give any ideas because I just want to see what the person does. And generally, writers don't have very good ideas about what they should do. Usually, they don't have good ideas at all. I'm sure most of them, we think in two different a way. So it's really fun to get to see how those things come together.
Well, this is an absolutely delightful book. The name of it is Sparky. Jenny and Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Thanks for having us.
Again, the name of Jenny Offhill's book is Sparky and is illustrated by Chris Abelhans. It is published by Schwartz and Wade Books. And you can meet Jenny Offhill this Sunday, March 9th at 12 p.m. at Oblong Books in Rhinebeck, New York. For more information, visit our website, wamc.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.